From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, June 28th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chi, Shawa Toyaksuk Nusum, Slama. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, it's a holiday bonanza. We'll chat with the Volunteer Marching Band about their July 3rd concert ahead of the parades on the 4th. And we'll get all the details on the ongoings from the Douglas 4th of July Committee. Always a great day over there in Douglas on the holiday. We'll hear about the meet and greet from Juno Animal Rescue and Juno Parks and Rec that's happening tomorrow at Treadwell Arena. And we'll talk events, summer reading, and new books with the Juno Public Library. It's a fun-filled fireworks edition of Juno Afternoon, plus the latest Curious Juno and more. Coming up this hour.
Hands and grass. Ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha anikak. Gunil cheesh.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. What is a perfect warm-up to the midnight fireworks celebration happening next Wednesday on July 3rd? Well, I think the answer is the Juno Volunteer Marching Band concert happening at 7 p.m. at the Sea Alaska Heritage Plaza. And here to tell us all about it are Sarah McNair Grove from Juno Community Bands, and TJ Hovest, who is here down from Fairbanks yet again, leading the volunteer marching band, leading us all through this. So I'm Gunath Cheese for being here today. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Great. We're having a good time.
I mean, I guess if you're rehearsing, are you rehearsing it outside at all because it's so beautiful?
That would be a good idea. Right now we're inside, but okay, we will probably move outside.
Because you'll be outside on the day, right?
Right.
And actually both days, because not only does the Volunteer Marching Band perform this concert, which is a sit-down concert, we'll get into that, but then you also are in the parade that will be happening on the 4th.
That's right, the Juno Parade and the Douglas Parade, so you can catch us both times.
Catch us all three times.
All three times in the sit-down concert.
For sure, yeah. Why not? Why not? There's so many. Okay, well, let's go back just a little bit. Sarah, for those who may not be familiar, remind us about the Juno Community Bands and what that organization is.
Okay. It started probably in 1976 when a couple of Juno musicians realized there was no bands in the parade. And so they got together their friends and have a marching band for the parade. And that's how it started. And about 10 years ago, we decided we'd like to do something a little bit more musically interesting than just marches for the parade, which are wonderful in and of themselves. And so we started the concert band, which we do some various concerts, but it keeps wind and percussion players playing over the years. And the particular concert that we're talking about now is the 4th of July concert, which is the marching band, which you'll see in the parade. And we do a sit-down concert just before the parade. And I'll let TJ tell you a little bit about what we're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to that in just a second, but I just want to mention the other concerts that you do so people know. You do a Christmas concert, and what other concerts do you do?
Yeah, we do generally two concerts a year, one in the fall and one in the spring. And I'll just say our spring concert this year is going to feature a trumpet solo with Ken Geyer, who is a JDHS band teacher for many, many years. So all of you former students, come out and support Ken.
that's so cool. And I do want I mentioned it's a volunteer marching band.
That's
so
correct.
Tell us about if someone's listening or they just moved to Juno and they're like, oh, wow, volunteer marching band. I play. I want to get into that. What do they need to do? And are you looking for people?
They just need to call us up and say, we want to come play in the marching band, and we say, welcome. You're happy to have you.
Get to work.
That's right.
And of course, the website, you can contact them at is junocommunityband.org, which has all the information about the various concerts that happen throughout the year, or if you're interested in becoming a part of the band. And is it any age open? Or
We do ask that youth have finished seventh grade. Just to marches are not easy to play.
Right.
And
right.
So and walking, if you're downtown, that's a 2 mile walk with right. your instrument. So
right.
Douglas is short. We just play three marches and we're done. But we love playing in Douglas. It's great.
Yeah, I imagine because, yeah, walking and having to play and all of those things all at once. Right. It's the old walking and chew bubblegum at the same
yeah,
time.
I kind think of so. Huh?
Yeah. OK. And TJ, so tell us a little bit about this concert. Like, so there's going to be two different things, right? Because this concert that we're talking about, which is the Sea Alaska Plaza,
right,
on Wednesday night at 7, that's a sit-down concert.
It's so, a sit-down show. It's yeah. like going to the symphony, except for it's a band.
Right,
it's
right.
A symphony of bands.
And how long will the concert be?
I imagine it'll be just over an hour.
Okay. And are we playing strictly patriotic music? Are we mixing that up with some other things or what?
Yeah, actually, this is a pretty cool year. Last year when I came, I found that the band was pretty advanced and we were able to throw in some stuff pretty last minute. And so this year I programmed a much more sort of traditional band literature program. So you're going to hear some really slow, beautiful, moving lyrical pieces, and you're going to hear some really epic pieces that are I guess like war horses in the band rep world, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a little bit of pop music and a couple marches because you got to do that. But
I see. Okay,
it's going to be a really great show, and we have over 50 members in this year's band.
Wow,
and it just sounds so good. It's going to be a really good show, and I can't believe we're doing it for free.
It is free. It's definitely free.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to mention. And so we'd be doing things like America the Beautiful and all that kind of music, or?
Sort of. It's more like, it's not classical music, but it's what I would call like classic traditional wind band literature music.
Okay.
So anyone that's ever played in a band or been to a band concert or has like listened to YouTube bands, you'll have heard some of these songs before because they're the classics. They're like the big hitters, the pop music of band music, so
I
to say.
See. Okay. And then, but you're also, you said you have a couple of recent, more poppy songs.
We got a little bit of that and a little bit of marches. A
little Taylor Swift or something?
No, T-Swift. No, it's, we're doing a little Star Trek for you.
Okay.
Old and new. It's
oh,
all,
nice.
All together.
Okay. And TJ, I mentioned that you're from Fairbanks.
Well, I'm actually from Juneau.
Oh, you're from Juneau.
I just live
you
in Fairbanks
live.
Now.
Oh, see, that's a good clarification.
Yeah, I grew up here. I went through the program with Ken Geyer.
Okay.
At JD, pre-TM. That's how old I am. And then I finished school and I got a teaching job up in Fairbanks. And it's so nice to be able to come back and do this and do what my career is with people I knew, and it's pretty strange to conduct your former band director, but it's it's fun as well.
The what is that phrase? The student has become the master.
Well, the student has become something.
Because that was my question, was what keeps bringing you back to Juneau? But obviously, if you're from here, then that is the connection. And pre-TM, I'm assuming you mean pre-Thunder Mountain.
Thunder Mountain, yeah.
Which now they're all going to be back at JDHS anyway. So we're combining all
life,
back together. Yeah, for sure. That is so cool. I know also, Sarah, that because a friend of mine who works on a lot of movement stuff, you have a new band. What is the person that sits at the front of the band when they're marching? Right.
The drum major.
The drum major. Yeah. There's a new drum major that started last year, Haley Duran.
Right.
Who took over for the person who'd been doing it for.
B had been doing it for many years.
For many, many years. Uh-huh. And it was funny. I saw Haley the other day and I was like, Haley, now that you have this gig, you have to do this for at least as long as B did it.
That's right.
Like you have it's your
you
lifelong mission now that you are the drum major. Uh-huh. So now does that kind of person is. Will Haley be at this concert doing anything as the drum major? Or is that only when you're marching that you need a drum major?
the drum major is really for the marches.
Yeah.
So in the parade.
I see. Okay. And what's the difference between like a sit down band concert like this versus like the parade concert that you're going to do?
I guess I would say that the parade music is it's all marches. And we have a drum line, so the percussion section looks a little different. And of course, we're all standing and marching, and the music's with you. And in a sit-down concert, it's a lot more like, you know, going to see the Juno Symphony.
Right.
Except for we don't have any strings. But it's much more of a, like, classical sort of concert setting.
I see. Okay.
And the music's different. Like, we wouldn't play lyrical pieces in the marching band. That would be tough.
Mm.
So you know, there's a lot of like sort of, we're tugging on your heartstrings a little bit in this concert, but it's my favorite kind of music to play. So,
yeah. So, cause like it. In the marching, is it like the music has to, I mean, cause you're walking in a certain beat, right?
You can't change the beat. So if you change different pieces, you still have
right.
to keep the
so
same beat.
Right. So I'm assuming that the marching music has sort of that rhythm to it of walking so that the people can keep that time.
And that's
right?
why it's mostly marches, cause yeah. marches usually are about the same beat.
Yeah.
So you can change music and just keep the same tempo.
Well, what a great opportunity for the folks then to be able to do the sit down concert as well, you know, to be able to play some of that extra music or bring in new pieces that TJ's been involving in this year's concert. We do want to mention that the concert we said is free, but they do ask that you bring your own lawn chair or blanket. I'm assuming you're going to be out with 50 people. You're going to be out on the main plaza there as hopefully as long yes. as it's not raining.
The band will be under the shelter, so we won't get wet.
I see.
But the
I wondered,
audience,
okay.
you might, if it's drizzly. We're Junoites. We know how to dress appropriately.
Yeah, be prepared, but bring your own chair or something to sit on, a blanket with your family or whatnot, and enjoy this wonderful free concert from Juno Community Bands. It's the Volunteer Marching Band, and it's going to be a concert. It's at Sea Alaska Heritage Plaza at 7 o'clock. It's a little over an hour, which will then give you time to get some dinner and get ready for the fireworks. And then, mm-hmm. of course, you'll be involved as well in the downtown parade as well as the Douglas parade.
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you all do that thing we all do. We watch the downtown parade and then we figure out, okay, how fast can we get over to the bridge to Douglas?
That's right. You don't want to miss the beginning of the parade when you're in it.
I love that so much. Well, Gwyneth Cheese for being here and telling us all about it. And we'll look forward to hearing more about stuff that's coming up in the coming year, Sarah.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Really appreciate you coming in today. More 4th of July goodness will be coming up next. We'll talk with the Douglas 4th of July Committee all about the happenings going down across the bridge. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, this week's episode of Curious Juno.
It's a breezy day in Juno. The state flags along Egan Drive are fluttering, and a bald eagle is coasting along Gastineau Channel, where I'm standing with Lieutenant Kyle Hansen.
So we're at Coast Guard Station Juno here in Juno, Alaska, looking at the windmill here on the pier.
Behind him, a wind turbine towers 60 feet tall. Its three blades are turning so fast that they blur together. If you live in Juno, you know it's a windy city. The famed Taku winds can rip down this channel at up to 100 miles per hour. They're powerful, and harnessing that power is one of the best ways to create renewable energy. Energy educator Clay Good has noticed the Coast Guard's lonely wind turbine like a big question mark on the waterfront.
It really spins in the wind, and it makes a neat little whipping sound as it goes. So everybody notices it and wonders, can we do more wind energy here?
For this week's Curious Juno, a KTOO listener asked us just that. Lieutenant Hansen said this wind turbine was installed back in 2010 as part of an executive order that called for more renewable energy at federal facilities. It's been producing electricity for the last decade, about 1,500 kilowatt hours per month,
which turns into about 7% of Station Juno's needs.
That's a significant amount of power. A turbine this size could easily produce enough electricity for the average U.S. household, which needs about 900 kilowatt hours per month. And the turbine has saved the Coast Guard some money, too.
It's produced about $25,000 worth of electricity for the station.
This is just a mini turbine. The ones you might see on a wind farm can usually power almost 1,000 homes. and the cost of wind energy is dropping dramatically. So why not build more wind turbines in Juneau? Good, who works for Renewable Energy Alaska Project, says wind power works best in wide open spaces.
Where there's a smooth laminar wind that is consistent and predictable.
Juneau's winds are anything but. When a breeze hits our steep mountains and drops into Gastineau Channel, it becomes irregular and chaotic. In other words, turbulent. And like airplanes, wind turbines don't like turbulence. On the mountaintops, where winds are smoother, turbines might work better.
That's a lovely place to capture the wind, but it's not a lovely place to build a turbine. It's not a lovely place to maintain one.
Wind on the ridges is great on average, but at the extremes, especially in the winter, it's just too strong for a turbine to withstand.
Just really a hostile environment for any kind of infrastructure.
So, while powerful, Juneau's wind is not really the right kind of wind. And perhaps more importantly, wind power faces a big competitor here.
It just seriously cannot compete with hydro. Southeast Alaska was made for hydro. I think rain was invented here.
The same mountains that create turbulent winds also create rushing creeks and streams, making for extremely reliable hydropower. And our deep mountain basins can store water during rainy seasons, which we can still use to generate electricity when it's drier. Both wind and solar power, on the other hand, require expensive batteries for energy storage. So when it comes to renewable energy here in Juneau,
it's hard to even think about anything else.
Communities elsewhere are exploring ways to create large-scale renewable power to cut down on the fossil fuel pollution that drives climate change. There are often high startup costs to build that renewable infrastructure, and those costs get incorporated into your electricity bill. But Juneau got a head start on hydro. Back in the late 1890s, water was the easiest way to power a bustling mining industry. The first hydropower plant at Gold Creek later evolved into Juneau's sole utility, Alaska Electric Light and Power. Today, they provide Juneau with 100% renewable electricity, and we get it relatively cheap.
It's not like 125 years ago, a bunch of conservationists and greenies moved to Juneau and said, we're going to have green power here.
It was just the most reliable power source that was available. And there's a lot more where that came from. In Juneau, I'm Anna Kim.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan-A-D have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and we have a full house in the studio. Outfits, headbands with flags, all kinds of good stuff. It looks like balloons, but it's not on your head. It's really fun. Lots of good things happening. And of course, we're talking about the Douglas 4th of July Committee because they don't do anything at half. It's exactly. Full. It's always full. So welcome in. So we're going to try to get to everybody. We've got three young women here who are helping with the details of the events. But then we also have all the young folks who are part of the Douglas Derby and things like that. So we'll try to hit on that as well if we have time. So I have Maggie Swanson. Yes. And I have Joyce Vick. And I have Kara Johnson. Yes. Welcome in. Gonna Cheese for being here today. It's so much fun to have you. So let's first start with the event that's happening tomorrow, because we think of 4th of July as next week, but there's actually something happening tomorrow.
Absolutely. So yeah. In order to prepare for the 4th,
yeah.
For the kids' parade, we have a bike decorating and sidewalk chalk decorating event at the Douglas Public Library from 1 to 3 down in the parking garage underneath. And all of the supplies are going to be provided, and all the chalk is provided, and the Douglas Library works with us on that. Please come decorate your bike, trike, scooter, whatever you have. And if you don't have anything and you want to decorate you, that's fine too.
You can decorate yourself. I love it.
Absolutely. We're trying to get everybody in the spirit for the kids' parade on the 4th. But if you don't want to and you're too intimidated, don't worry about it. You don't have to come and join us. We'd like you to, but you don't have to.
That's all good. And of course, we have the library on today. I'm sure they're going to mention that again.
Yes.
Okay. And then, Joyce, you have some information for us about the 3rd, yes?
Yes, I do. So I wanted to let you know that the focus of the Douglas 4th of July events has always been on children and the community. And that's the goal that we strive for. There are competitions, including ball games and fire hose events between Douglas and Juneau, have always been popular. So when the mines were running, the miners got 2 days off a year, Christmas and, yay, the 4th of July. The fireworks were set off at midnight on the 3rd so that the miners could celebrate and be ready for work and to go back to work on the 5th.
Gotcha.
So that's why we celebrate fireworks on the 3rd. And enjoy all the events on the 4th.
Okay, I love that. And of course, you always put out this fantastic program. People get this program, they love it because it details all of the different events. There's so many things. There's a raffle drawing that will be happening on Monday.
Right, that's just our fundraising event. And okay. So
make sure you're talking there. Yeah.
In order for us to provide what we do, we have to have funding. The CBGA gives us a grant. People donate money to us, but then we also raise money through a fundraiser. And that takes care of that.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And so, like I said, we run by volunteers. And our soapbox derby and our field events are done in cooperation with the Juneau High School football team, the Huskies.
Oh, nice.
And those kids, they take care of it. We couldn't do those events without them. They line the roads with the tires and they take care of all the kids in all of the field events.
Wow.
And then we have the volunteer firefighters. We have the public library. Foodland donates watermelons for the watermelon eating contest. And like I said, we could not do all that we do without the help from the community.
Let me ask you this question. What don't you do? I'm just kidding.
We don't have enough volunteers.
Okay,
exactly.
That's what we need, more volunteers.
Absolutely.
So if people are out there and they want to help out, what would they do? Who would they contact?
They would contact Ms. Joyce Vick at 907-321-3820.
Okay, yes. 321.
907-321-3820, and we'll set them up, and we'll keep them out of trouble, and we'll keep them busy.
Right. It's such a fun time.
It really is. It's the best time in Douglas.
Yeah, for sure. And so there is events that happen on the 4th. Well, the 3rd, right?
The 3rd.
We want to talk about the 3rd.
The 3rd.
The soapbox starts on the 3rd.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we do, starting at 5 o'clock on July 3rd, we have our car show. And that's for any families that made their own soapbox car want to sort of show it off.
Yeah.
Many families will make a car and then donate it to the Douglas 4th of July committee or donate it to the Soapbox Derby program. Those cars don't go into the car show once they've been in before. But a family can bring a car year after year
of their own.
We do the car show from 5 to 5:30. And then after that, the trials for the soapbox begin. And as soon as a child has a registration, they'll get a bracelet. And that bracelet gives them unlimited trial runs on the 3rd. So they can do it as many times as they want. We have a whole slew of loaner cars. So even if any of the children don't have their own cars or they weren't able to make one, we have them and they can try different ones. And then we also have our picnic going on. And so they can do the trial runs, go get some food or vice versa.
Nice. Right. Okay. So I just want to ask real quick, who back there is participating in the Soapbox Derby? All of you. Okay. Can you step up to this microphone up here for me? Introduce yourself for me. Yeah, pull it down. There you go.
Hi, I'm Ona.
Ona, okay. And have you participated in the Soapbox Derby before?
Yeah, I love it so much.
Okay, tell me what's the best thing about it.
Everything.
do you make your own car?
Us Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes, okay. And then it's at the top of St. Anne's, and like, is it what's the thing that makes it like so fun? Is it the fast part of the car, or
sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow. It's just super fun to hang out with your friends, make new friends, look at all the cool things, and it's just really fun overall.
Nice. And do you ever have like massive wrecks with the cars? Do they go off and go onto the side? They're like, no, the boys in the back are shaking their head like, no way.
It's super safe.
Super safe. Yeah.
Safety first.
I love that. Okay, why don't you guys come up and introduce yourselves as well. Let me know what your name is and how long you've been doing this.
Hi, I'm Arrow, and I've actually been doing it like every single time, but I just got too old 2 years ago. I was like, it's so fun, and like, I extremely recommend to do it every single time that you can, because like, it's just so fun.
I see. So there is an age limit on the Soapbox Derby. What ages should kids get involved if the parents want to get involved with this?
We have three different age brackets. 5 to 6 year olds compete against each other, and 7 to 8 year olds, as well as 9 and 10 year olds.
Oh, okay.
So that must make you 12, Arrow. Yep.
So you termed out, as they say. Mm-hmm. All right. And what about your buddy back there? Let me hear you. And are you guys coaching now? Is that what's happening? Tell me about it. Tell me your name and what your involvement is.
I'm Tavio. I've done it for the last 2 years, but now I'm 11, so I can't do it anymore.
Shoot. Do you miss it?
Yeah, it's really fun. And the first year I made the Razor Crest, and then this last year I made the Hogwarts Express. Oh. So you can really just make whatever you want. It doesn't matter about how fast it is. It's just a really fun time no matter what.
So let me hear. I want to hear what is your theme? Do you have a themed? No. It's okay. Yeah. The one who spoke before. Yeah. What is your themed? Do you have a themed car? I'm just curious.
No, but before we've done one that was like the ocean and it had plastic and stuff in it. You know,
that's cool.
There's so much plastic in the ocean.
There's too much plastic in the ocean. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so are you also in the Soapbox Derby? No, not in the Soapbox Derby. Okay, that's cool. No worries. That is awesome. Like, I mean, it's I love that the older boys there are still sort of supporting it and really liking it. Do you ever think about having like another category for like teenagers?
We would love to. It all comes down to like logistics and insurance, and we sort of age out of the safer vehicles at 10 years old.
I see. Yeah. That makes sense. Because in my mind, sometimes I think now, they're driving these cars? Because sometimes I think of like the little tiny ones.
Right.
But we're talking about you build a little tiny wooden car.
We have kits that are sold at Don Abel's, and they are sold for $85 each. And the kits come with the 4 set of wheels, the transom, and a steering column.
Gosh, man. So yeah, if you've just moved to Juneau and you have kids and you want to get them involved in this, this is such a fun event.
It is.
It's a big part of it.
It really is.
In addition to the Soapbox Derby, there's a watermelon eating contest. What else do we want to talk about? There's so many things.
So they go up to the Soapbox Derby and they do some of the trials, and then they come on down to the beach, and we have a community picnic that we put on with the volunteer firefighters.
Yeah.
And you can eat to your heart's desire from 6 to 8. All food is provided. All sides are provided. At 6 o'clock, we have a watermelon eating contest with all the little kids starting however old they are to eat watermelon, all the way up to adults if the kids can get their parents to do that, and the watermelons are donated by Foodland.
I love it.
And so then on Thursday, one thing that a lot of people say is, I can't get to Douglas for whatever reason. We have buses. First Student supplies bus transportation from the Federal Building and Sayat Gastineau School back and forth every half hour from 11 to 5.
Oh, wow.
So you don't have to worry about where to park your car, just wherever it is. Go to Federal Building, come on over to Douglas, or park in Douglas, catch the bus over to town. However you want to do it, just
That's
to make
so
life
smart,
easier.
Because I know I live in North Douglas, but then I come over to the parade over here in Juneau, but then I have to race back. And then sometimes you're like, oh, do I Do I do the traffic? Do I not do the traffic? Do I get stuck over there? What happens? Right. It's part of the fun, though, too, sort of as you see everybody, especially as all the floats go from over here to over there.
Well, and that's what we want to encourage all those floats to come over to Douglas because you've put so much time and effort into making them. Please come on over and show
Why not get a second shot at it?
Exactly. And then we have some that are only in Douglas.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. Okay. And then tell me about this passport thing. What is this? I want to hear about this.
Okay. That is our fundraising effort this year. It's our 125th year, and this is just for fun. It's only for 2024.
Okay.
Uh-huh. You can purchase it from any of the Douglas 4th of July community members. They're $10 a piece.
Okay.
And you can go to businesses. What makes it really, really fun is you can go to businesses in Douglas, and they will stamp it.
Okay.
And they will stamp it and they will sign off on it. So just like a passport, if you're going out of country, you get a stamp on your passport. So it's for businesses that are located south of Lawson Creek.
Okay.
Because that would be like the city of Douglas area. Yeah. And you have to visit the businesses in this calendar year. So
So this isn't just for the 4th. This is ongoing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. But the businesses will start stamping passports on the 1st of July.
Okay.
Yes. So keep that in mind.
And you can get these. You'll be able to get these on the 3rd or the 4th probably.
Yes. And even tomorrow with the bike decorating contest.
Right. The bike decorating contest,
the raffle at Louis on the
on Monday
on the 1st.
Yeah.
And then at Soapbox. Okay. As well as the picnic on the 3rd, and then any of the events.
It's so fun. You got this history of Douglas in here. It's just a cool thing. Yeah. Go ahead, Maggie.
So just wanted to kind of highlight some of the other things going on.
Yep.
So our Grand Marshal is Molly McCormick this year. Just want to shout out to Molly for all that she's done for the community. So we really appreciate that. So we have the Douglas Community United Methodist Church has their barbecue. The volunteer firefighters are selling hot dogs.
As always,
you know, great fundraiser. You can't have the 4th of July without a hot dog. Annual Sandcastle Challenge. Just know that the high tide is at 1:30, so build your sandcastles accordingly. Field events from ages 2 on up to adults will be on field 1. And if you haven't seen a little 2-year-old do a 10-yard rush dash, you got to come check it out.
Yeah, that's too cute. That's too cute. Yeah.
Field 1 is the closest field into Sandy Beach. It's not the one where the buildings are.
Right.
It's the first one.
Yeah.
And you'll
see
the lines and the marking. Yeah.
That's cool.
So this year we have a whole slew of bands from Alaska Music 1. We have Manic 3, Magical America, Sound Crew, 99% and Innuendo. I just found out that Pajama Cats unfortunately had to scratch.
Oh, no.
We have a bunch of food vendors this year, so we are getting back up to pre-COVID times now, and it's just amazing that we have all these different food vendors. Food Court is down by Treadwell Arena, so come and join us. Arctic Blast Freeze, Drizzlicious Sweets, El Shingon, El Taco Azteca, 4 Plates Full Circle Sweets, Grab and Go, Casaco Tastings, Cultura Saw Isla, and Twirly Whirly. I apologize if I butchered your names. non-food vendors, the Northland Bible Church, right there by the field events. They hand out water every year for people coming down to the field. Taste Crochet, she's got some fun things, and so does Tina's Fitness Studio.
Well, you can find all this information. Unfortunately, we're going to be out of time here, but of course, what's great is there's a website, Douglas 4th, with the number 4, of course, douglas4thofjuly.com. It's going to have all the events listed on there. Everything's on there. You heard about it here today in terms of the massive amount of fun that the Douglas 4th of July committee puts into this. And of course, one last shout out for volunteers.
Yes.
And you're going to want to call Joyce 907-321-3820. Put a little volunteer time in and then go get some food, support these vendors, support the kids in their soapbox derby. I would say break a leg. That's a theater term, but I guess when you're in a soapbox, you don't want to be breaking a leg. So,
hey, on one last thing.
Please,
Maggie. I do so much apologize to the firefighters. Make and Break Hose Race, which is a blast at 3:30 in front of the fire station. If it's raining, the winner is going to hose down the other side. And if it's hot and sunny, they're still going to get hosed down. So either you get wet when you're already wet or you get cooled down.
I love it.
So come and join it.
That's so fun. Thank you so much.
I also give a shout out for anybody who has a float and they think, oh, I didn't register, I can't do it. Come over to Douglas. We will fit you into the parade.
I bet.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You don't have to register. Just come on over and have some fun with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say do that for sure. The more parade, more floats, the better.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And we give prizes for the best floats.
Prizes for the what don't you do?
Exactly. We get prizes for all the kids' floats, for the adult floats.
For the races.
I love it.
Yeah, you know, just come to Douglas on the 4th. Join us for a community celebration.
Happy 4th, everybody.
Happy 4th.
Douglas 4th of July Committee, and you'll see them all next week. Really appreciate you being here. Thanks for all the folks in the back for coming in as well. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Up next, if you've been looking for a new four-legged friend, this Saturday is the perfect event for you. We'll find out about the meet and greet happening at Treadwell Arena next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a little Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
On an early summer day by the shore of Mendenhall Lake near Juneau, a crowd of tourists is enjoying the view of the Mendenhall Glacier. Just a few hundred feet in front of the visitors, a flock of graceful terns is wheeling, hovering, and diving over a sandy beach. Some are hovering and then plunging into the lake, emerging with small fish. A woman asks her friend about the beautiful little seagulls, and she tells her they are Arctic terns. And she points out a nearby sign on the beach that reads, "Closed, bird nesting area." In fact, an Arctic tern is sitting on the sign. A few months earlier, that tern was in Antarctica. These Arctic terns fly from the South Pole region north to Alaska and back south every year. It's the longest migration of any animal on Earth. On average, it's close to 25,000 miles round trip. That's basically the equivalent of flying completely around the world. Since our winter in the Northern Hemisphere is summer in Antarctica, when the terns fly south, they get another summer. These terns nest right on the ground. They're catching fish because they have nestlings to feed. Those young birds need to fatten up and get ready for their first migration, an epic migration that'll begin in just a couple of months. Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear for the whole family. Now carrying On running shoes and Gooder running sunglasses. Located in the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
When the news is hard to hear, you want to hear it on KTOO. Together, NPR and public stations tell the story of the entire country from everywhere across the U.S. We enable people to hear one another's voices across borders and the political spectrum so that you can be more empathetic and informed. As you're able to this spring, make a contribution to KTOO so we can continue this important work. Give at ktoo.org. Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and tomorrow is a really cool event. Both the Juno Animal Rescue and Juno Parks and Rec are putting together a meet and greet if you're looking for a new four-legged friend. And here to tell us a little bit about this is Karen Goldberg-Bell from Treadwell Arena, as well as Rick Driscoll from Juno Animal Rescue, or more lovingly known as JAR. Good cheese for you both being here today. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
It's fantastic. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Yeah. So this event that's happening, is this the first of its kind?
At Treadwell.
At yes. Treadwell, okay.
I don't know if in Juneau it is, but at Treadwell, this is definitely the first time we've done anything like this.
I mean, the Juneau Animal Rescue always has a meet and greet. You can go there and see a pet. You get, you know, pick out a cat or whatever and go into the little room and you can have a little thing. But this is a larger event. How did this idea come about?
It was all Karen's idea. She approached JAR, and I think you guys are just trying to find some creative things to do with your space when there's not ice, you know, on the rink.
Yeah.
And so kind of started from there. And Juno Animal Rescue is going to be a part of it. The Grateful Dogs of Juno will be there as well. They're doing a dog food drive, and the Capital City Kennel Club will be there as well. And they're going to be doing some agility demonstrations with some of their dogs. So
that's so
cool. It's like
cool.
A trio of the the pet loving folks. And
so is this going to be like all on what would we would think of as the ice rink?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you, so you're going to have different stations or different animals that will be available. And how does it going to, is it going to work where if I see somebody that, or a little creature that draws my heart, do I put in the application right there that day, or how's that going
to
work?
We will have applications available to be filled out.
You won't go and take a pet home.
No, yeah. No, because they're the kind of the stars of the show, right? So we got to keep them for yeah. all the events going on. But if someone was just absolutely fell in love with a dog or a cat and wanted to take them home that day, we could work something out where they could come back to the shelter after the event's over.
And it's not like, I just want to make sure that so people, you know, if they have a question, it's not an auction, right? I'm not, it's not the highest bidder gets the animal, right?
It's
you
really,
could do that, but that's not what this is.
No, it's really just a meet and greet. We'll have four dogs that are available for adoption. They're in the rink, like on where the ice would be. And then we're going to turn one of the locker rooms into a little cat area. We're going to have five or six cats down there as well.
Okay. Because I know recently you all just had like a bunch of spiders. And then there was another thing where you had a bunch of cats too, right?
Yeah, we had 27 spiders this spring and we got 60 cats over the last over about 10 days, about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And so you still have a bunch of those cats available?
Yeah, many, I think all of the cats that will be available to hang out with tomorrow will be from that
part of that 60. Group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And so Karen, what gave you this thought? I mean, besides filling the arena, what do you have an affinity for animals yourself?
I do. I'm definitely a cat lady and I have two cats from Jar and they are my life basically besides working at the rink pretty much. And so, yeah, I, after finding out about Jar kind of needing a new facility and them always getting pets, I selfishly was hoping that they would bring cats to the rink so that I could just hang out with cats all day.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
You know, try to get a rink cat potentially. That's what I was hoping, just shouting out to the city, you know.
You're like, hey, bosses, maybe we need a rink cat.
Yeah, I love animals and a lot of the people who work at the rink also have a bunch of pets and have gotten pets from Jar or other kind of rescue shelters. And so we all really just want all these animals to go to good homes, and we want to provide opportunities for some of these organizations to kind of get their names out there, get the pets out there and a different sort of setting, and maybe have a different group of people who might not go to the Jar area as often, you know, maybe some more downtown and Douglas people
can
kind of come by and check things out.
Because maybe if you go to Juno Animal Rescue, you're maybe not taking the whole family, but if you live in Douglas, this is an easy thing to walk down to the arena. And, you know, you can bring the littles and they can see a cat or a dog. And it's mostly going to be just cats and dogs there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I know you mentioned this, but I just want to mention this again. It's a free event. However, there is a food drive going on, a pet food drive, and those donations are welcome and encouraged. So there's no admission, but there's going to be like bins or something where people can offer up some food. Yeah.
Jar's doing like a meet and greet adoption event, and the Grateful Dogs of Juneau, which is another nonprofit here in town, are the folks that will be doing the food drive, dog food drive.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah, bring dog food.
And they'll be in the lobby. So if you want to bring like Costco size bags of food, you won't have to walk far into the rink to drop those off.
Yeah.
And then the kennel club will also be there with one or two dogs, and they'll have an agility course set up. And so we're also showing off that the kennel club provides a club to, you know, train your dogs and provides agility courses and options to do courses around the state, I think, and other states potentially. And if they want to get on the circuit, basically, in dog shows, it seems
that's
like.
Cool.
So getting their name out there, too, and, you know, providing people with dogs other options potentially for things to do with them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you also had a note that, you know, leave your pets at home, right? So
yes.
We don't
unless obviously that you have a service animal. The star of the events are these Juno Animal Rescue animals and then the Kennel Club dogs. And so we kind of want just to make sure that all the animals there feel as comfortable as possible and safe. And so we just ask that people keep their pets at home.
Yeah. So, Rick, I'm curious, how is the adoption process? What is that for folks to know about? What is it that they need to know?
It's basically just like a 1.5 page application, just the basics.
Yeah.
Name, address, telephone number, that sort of thing. How many, you know, do you have other pets in the home? That sort of thing.
Right.
You know, landlords, make sure you get your, if you're interested in adopting a pet, make sure you get approval from your landlord before.
Yeah, that would be the worst, wouldn't it? Adopt a pet and then you can't have it at your house. That would be, or your apartment or whatnot. And how's it going over there in terms of, you have all these cats that you had recently, but is the adoption rate pretty good?
Yeah, the cats will get adopted fairly quickly, I think. We've got a lot of kittens, and kittens tend to go fairly quick. And just a shout out to all the folks that really responded to that. I call it like the cat crisis, but you know, we don't have the ability to house 70 some odd cats. And so we've had a lot of foster folks interested. And so they've taken a lot of the cats back to their homes and caring for them there until we can create some more space to bring them back.
So, that's a good thing for people to know, right? That they can foster an animal. Doesn't mean you're adopting it full time, even though you might fall in love with it.
Right.
But you can help out Jar and, you know, take some of that hardship. Is it really just those couple of rooms that you have to be able to house
them?
You probably have some space in the back.
Yeah. The rooms that you see are kind of they're the cat meet and greet rooms, but we have like, you know, rooms of kennels in the back that, we house lots and lots of cats back there.
But still, 60 cats is a lot to ask.
Yeah.
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 I mean, we had, last time I ran a report, we had 74 cats in our possession.
Oh my. Yeah. Wow. Cats and dogs and more. Oh my. And anything else coming up at the Treadwell that we need to know about, Karen?
Our summer slab season, this will be our last event, and then we'll be closed to the public for most of July until we have the ice open. And that'll be around the last week of July, kind of the first week of August. We're aiming for ice. I won't say it's definite because.
Right.
Things work in mysterious ways.
And I know that I noticed on the website that Treadwell's looking for a new arena manager.
We are. We're looking for a new arena manager.
A new boss.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We are looking for a new leader at Treadwell. So.
All right. Well, you can find out more about, does Treadwell have its own website or does everybody go to juno.org/parksandrec?
You can go from Juno's main page. You can also just Treadwell to Google and it'll come first thing.
Yeah, Treadwell Ice Arena or Treadwell Arena, it'll come up for you. If you're new to town and you haven't heard of Treadwell Arena, it's a great place over there in Douglas. And then Juno Animal Rescue, what is your website, Rick?
JunoAnimalRescue.org.
Right, and that is the place to go and see pictures of really cute animals that you want to adopt. But this is a great event, and it's tomorrow, and it's happening from 12 to 3 tomorrow over at the Treadwell Arena. It's Saturday, June 29th, 12 to 3. They're going to have some cats. They're going to have some dogs. They'll have some information. There's an agility course demonstration. You can bring some food and donate it to the Grateful Dogs of Juno, Capital Kennel Club. Capital Kennel Club is involved, and of course Juno Animal Rescue, and all hosted and idea creation by Karen there at Treadwell Arena. So thank you so much for coming in and telling us a little bit about it.
Thank you.
I hope that I hope all the animals get adopted tomorrow.
Absolutely.
That is the plan. That is the idea. Well, Gunnath Cheese for coming in today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, up next, summer reading, new books, and more with the Juno Public Library. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. First, a little bird note.
This is Bird Note. Raising baby birds is a lot of work. You might think that after seeing off their fledged young ones, bird parents would call it a day. Or a breeding season, anyway. And some birds do invest all their energy in one brood of chicks per year, especially bigger birds. But a surprising number of species start again and raise another set of young in the same breeding season, what's called double brooding. Young birds have high mortality rates, so doubling up on babies can help offset any losses that the species faces over the year. And it turns out that even some bigger birds, such as owls, will raise another brood if conditions are right. Some birds squeeze in even more broods each year, particularly ones that often lose eggs to predators. Mourning doves, which nest on the ground, have been seen trying to raise 6 clutches of eggs in one season. These doves live by the saying that if at first you don't succeed, nest, nest again. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein. Support for BirdNote is provided by Mary Piggott from Seattle, Washington, and generous listeners around the world.
This is Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Time once again for our monthly check-in with the Juno Public Libraries. Jen Gardner is here with special guest Katrina Wolford. Gwyneth Cheese, Shree Wolf being here today. Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. It's a beautiful sunny day. We love that, right? But it also brings up sort of the topic of summer reading. Yeah, like the beach reads, they call them.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot going on for summer, both with programming and our summer reading challenges. And I wanted to share with you a couple of events that are coming right
up. Please.
So this weekend, tomorrow, in fact, there is July 4th bike decorating happening at the Douglas Library in the parking garage. All you have to do is meet in the garage from 1 until 3 p.m. to get your bike all ready and decorated, and supplies will be provided for the decorating. And then on Sunday, also in the Douglas Library, from 1 to 4 p.m., there is a monthly game day with Platypus Gaming. This is a free event. It's all ages. The games are rated for ages 5 and up. And then we'll take a little break. But in July, after the holiday, there's some fun events coming up. July 6th, Saturday, there's Drag Story Hour in the Valley at 2 p.m. This is a really popular annual program that started back in 2017 at the request of one of our patrons. And Drag Story Hour is a G-rated event for all ages with local drag performers singing and reading picture books from our library collection. And all of the performers are Juno residents who volunteer their time for this event. So we're really pleased to welcome them back for another year's program. And another annual program that's been going on is the Alaska Theater Festival is doing a show at our Valley Library. And this is free. It's Pride and Prejudice. We do have limited space for this event inside the library, so definitely get there on time. This is Thursday, July 11th at 7 p.m. in the Valley Meeting Room. It's going to be a little bit over 2 hours, so it will go past the library regular open hours. But this is an imaginative and playful adaptation of the Jane Austen novel, and it is marketed as the fast and funny play with plenty of laughs and full of heart. And then later on in July, we've got a poetry reading going on in the downtown library. That's on Monday, July 15th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. We have award-winning poet Doris Lynch coming to share stories and poems about Arctic Alaska and Juno. And Doris Lynch's book, Swimming to Alaska, was just published in 2023. So we're excited to have her share from that collection. And then the last event that I wanted to share with you is our Fairy House Workshop. And that was a super popular event for all ages last year. That's going to be taking place July 20th in the Valley from 2 to 4 p.m. This is an all ages event. We'll provide templates for building fairy houses, and we'll have some limited crafting supplies as well. But we encourage folks who want to participate to bring their own decorating supplies like stickers or ribbons or anything else that they might want to add to their fairy houses.
Love that. And Katrina, Katrina, you are the new books acquisition person.
I am in acquisitions.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
It's, bookseller to library, which is a great transition. So.
Katrina, formerly from Hearthside, now working at
and
the
Northwards,
library.
Right?
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
So I help on the selection committee, and then I actually place orders for the books. And I was thinking about, gosh, what do I want to talk about? And I have a hard time committing to things, so I really like and appreciate novellas and short story collections, especially in the summer. You know, we're tired and we're like, oh, I want to read, but I don't want to, you know, really dig into a big weighty something. So I wanted to talk just about a few books and also encourage people to stop by our branches and look at we have new book sections, and we have new books coming in all the time.
We only have about 30 seconds left. Okay. So can you give me one good recommendation?
I am going to give you one. And it's a novella by Cynthia Zarin, and she's a children's author and a poet. This is actually a love story that takes place across three decades between two people. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's called Inverno. And we have it at the library. And I turned it back in so somebody else can check it out also.
Well, please come back next month and tell us more about new books, because we want to hear them about those. But unfortunately, that is the end of Juno Afternoon today. Thank you for joining us. And of course, they'll be back next month at Juno Public Library.